Our text for tonight is taken from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through 29. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through 29. And here it says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Tonight is a special night. We are going to witness the ordination of our brother Chi Quen Hua, and he will be ordained into the ministry of the gospel. And how we thank God that the Lord is raising up servants in his very wide harvest fields. China has 1.3 billion people. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. And how we pray the Lord may raise up more laborers for his harvest. And how we thank God that there will be one more who will enter into the harvest field to do the reaping. And how I thank God that the Lord is raising up people who can speak the Chinese language for the Chinese people. I am useless in China, but our brother, Preacher Chi, is very useful. I thank God also for the Reverend Pang Kok Hiong, my classmate and roommate when we were studying at FPBC. And the Lord has called him, surely. And the Lord is using him mightily, opening many doors for him to reach out to the Chinese people, especially those from the mainland. And surely the Lord loves the Chinese people. And sometimes it's very difficult for them to hear the gospel in the mainland itself. And so the Lord has to send hardships into their lives and push them out. So there is the Chinese diaspora, if I may use that term, a scattering, a moving out, where the Chinese people have to go out of the mainland to find work, to eke out a livelihood. And because of this moving out, they hear the gospel, and then they get saved. What a wonderful thing. Surely all these movements, all these events in the world are not by chance. The Lord has shown his grace to the people of Sinin, of the Far East, of China. So how we thank God for this. And I'm thankful also that last March, well, the FEPC had its 13th pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And a total of 43 of us, just before we came back home to Singapore, we ended our trip visiting the Chinese church in Jordan, in Erbil. And surely the highlight of the trip was to worship with these Chinese believers. And how we saw the joy that was in their faces, working in hard conditions for long hours, and yet they make every effort, expend every energy to come into the Lord's house, to worship the Lord and to study His Word and to pray to Him. And there was so much joy that we can see in their faces. How is it? Despite the hardships, the sufferings that they go through, in their working conditions, in the hard circumstances that they go through, how is it that they could reflect such joy and happiness? It was something supernatural, and surely it refreshed our hearts. God is working. It is because of the gospel that they have found. They now know that their hope is not on this earth. Their hope is in the life hereafter. Their home is in heaven. They have this blessed and glorious hope. And this is precisely what Paul is saying here in Colossians chapter 1. And here the word hope in the passage that we have just read occurs twice. The first time in verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. The hope is the hope of the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ, that He had died for our sins according to the Scriptures, shedding His precious blood. He was buried and on the third day rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. They have heard, they have understood, and they have embraced this good news, this gospel. And that's why they have this joy and peace and happiness in their lives, despite the hardships that they go through. Now they know the meaning of life. And there is glory waiting for them when the Lord Jesus returns. And that's why in verse 27, and here the word hope occurs the second time, explains what is the gospel, the result of the gospel, the fruit of the gospel. And here we are told that the hope of the gospel is the hope of glory, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. So this hope is certainly not the hope of this world, but the hope of the world to come. Have you found this hope? Do you have this hope? I pray everyone here tonight possess this hope that God wants us to have. Please, do not hope in this world, because this world will end one day. Please, don't hope in yourself. Please, do not hope in your intelligence. Do not hope in your philosophy. Do not hope in your money, in your riches. Do not hope in yourself, because we are not getting any stronger either. As the days go by, we become weaker. We become older. We get sick, and one day we will die. If we hope in ourselves, we are most miserable people. We must hope only in one. The one living and true God, the only Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Do you have this hope? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have not, I urge you, I plead with you, believe on Him tonight. Or else you will not know what is the meaning of life. Or else this life is only emptiness and vanity. And you will be aimless. But if you have Christ in your life, then you know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Now tonight, being a special night of ordination, I want to focus on what is the ministry of the gospel and what it means to be a minister of the gospel. So a word for ministers of the gospel right now. Those who would be ministers of the gospel, those who intend to be in the ministry, or whom God will call into ministry. And also for our brother here who will be ordained very soon. What does it mean to be a minister of the gospel? How may we have a successful ministry? Does the Bible tell us how we may be successful in the ministry of the gospel? The answer is yes. And Paul here has a lot to teach us. And he himself sets the example. So what are the requirements for a successful ministry? All of us want to be successful. How? We learn from the scriptures what is required of us. And here, there are three things, three requirements we must fulfill if we want to be successful in the ministry of the gospel. The first thing we learn from Paul here is this. If we want to succeed as a minister of the gospel, we must be prepared to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be prepared to suffer. And this we learn from verse 23. Look at what Paul here says. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul here says that he is now going through sufferings for the saints, for the church, sufferings in the ministry. Please also know that Paul, when he wrote this epistle to the Colossians, he was writing this letter in prison. Colossians is one of the prison epistles. He was writing this epistle in prison. Why was he in prison? He was not in prison because of any crime he had committed. He was in prison because he was preaching faithfully the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of that, he was now put in jail, awaiting hearing from Caesar. And sometimes, that may be what the Lord will require of us, that we might be put into prison for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we willing to go through that kind of suffering, even unto death? To be executed even for the gospel's sake, for the testimony of Jesus Christ and for His word. If we want to be a minister of the gospel, this is what we must be prepared to face. That's why the Lord Jesus tells us, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross. Cross of suffering, of shame, of suffering and shame, and follow me. And this is also applicable for every Christian. Are we willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ? And here, the word suffering is interesting. In the original, it's the word pathema. Pathema is where we get the English word pathos. Pathos. Now, this suffering does not only involve physical suffering. Paul was now in prison, going through physical suffering. And Paul went through a whole lot of physical suffering. Stonings, whippings, shipwrecks, hunger, many, many physical sufferings he had to endure. But more than that, the sufferings here include spiritual or emotional and mental sufferings. The ministry is not easy at all. It is very, very difficult. It is hard. It involves a lot of pain. It involves a lot of tears. Please don't think that the ministry is a very easy job. Some people may think the easiest job in the world is the job of a pastor. The only job in the world that you only need to work one day out of the week. The rest of us, we work 5-6 days. Pastors only work one day on Sunday, and that's it. You think so? Dear friends, don't enter the ministry if you are not prepared to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the Apostle Paul. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you will turn back, Paul gives his testimony. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at what Paul had to go through. Says here, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. This is the job description, dear friends. You want to be a minister of the gospel? This is the job description. How many of you now want to come into FEBC? But let me say this. This is also required of every Christian. We must be prepared to go through all these if we want to be a servant of God. If we are children of God, we must be prepared to suffer for the Lord like this. Not easy. There are many temptations, many trials, many testings. And sometimes you may be tempted to just give up, to quit. I've been tempted many times to quit, to give up. What for? Go through all these things. And that is the flesh, you see, that tells you to give up. There are times when you just feel so discouraged, even depressed. Please don't think that pastors don't go through depression. A lot of heartaches. It's heartbreaking when you preach the gospel and people reject the gospel. They go into a Christless eternity. You feel so sad for them. When you preach the word of God, and then you don't see the people growing in their faith, not receiving the word of God as they should, persisting in their sin and their error, it breaks the heart. You see God's people destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It it breaks the heart. You see them living such defeated Christian lives, not wanting to walk in the straight and narrow way. It breaks the heart. And sometimes in ministry, you not only have enemies, even your friends may forsake you. Very trying. And sometimes I ask myself this question, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I mean, it's easier to work in a secular job, to have a secular job, because if you don't like your boss, you don't like, you know, what is going on in the office, your work, you can just quit. You find another job. Or if you can find a better pay, better conditions, better benefits, you quit your present job and go for another one. Go for that one. But in the gospel ministry, you cannot just quit. Yes, you are tempted to quit. You want to throw in the towel. That is the flesh. But then the Spirit constrains you. Cannot. You want to do it and yet you cannot do it. You cannot run away. Why? Because the love of Christ constrains you. It's irresistible grace here. And do you blame God for it? Lord, I want to quit, but I cannot. I just simply cannot. There's this great burden. This holy mission you have to discharge. The Lord has put it in your heart. Just cannot run away from it, even if you wanted to. And thank God for this irresistible grace. That once He has called you, He will not let you go. In the same way, when the Lord calls you to be His child, to be a Christian, you cannot resist. And finally, you have to bow your knee and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe, Lord. I believe in Thee. I believe in Christ. And then in your life as a Christian, no matter what happens, you will never deny the Lord, no matter what. Listen to it. This irresistible grace. And in the call to ministry, it's the same thing. You want to give up, but you just cannot. And you know what? At the end of it all, you just thank God for it. Lord, I thank You. I thank Thee. And then you have this blessed assurance. You are not dejected, but you are encouraged. And you are happy. You rejoice. Despite all the sufferings you may go through, whether physical or mental or emotional sufferings you go through, you will take pleasure in them. And you will rejoice. This was what Paul said. I mean, in 2 Corinthians, now you look at chapter 12 now, he says, all these things I go through, and his attitude was like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And here in verse 10 we read, therefore I take pleasure, Paul says, I take pleasure. I don't run away from all these things. I don't shun them. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. When I find I'm the weakest, I cry out to the Lord. I say, Lord, help me. He strengthens me and gives me the peace and the joy that I need, the grace that I need to serve Him. So that I may realize this is something supernatural. It is not natural work that we are doing. It's supernatural. And this applies not only to the ministry, it applies to your Christian life as well. This is what you must experience for yourself. Do you? And then in Colossians, similarly, in Colossians chapter 1, 24, Paul says, who now rejoice in my sufferings. He rejoices in his sufferings for the Lord Jesus Christ. He thanks God for them. Why? Because he sees the power of God working through this weak vessel so that he might get all the glory. And he sees that the labor in the Lord is not in vain. People get saved. Churches grow. And the kingdom is extended and promoted. There will be results because God is in charge. He is in control. He gives the increase. So we must have this attitude. Yes, be prepared to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, and our attitude should be one of rejoicing. We take pleasure in all these things because they are not in vain. The second thing we learn here, if we want to succeed in the ministry, we must endeavor to fulfill the Word of God. We must endeavor to fulfill the Word of God. Look at verse 25. Paul here says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God." To fulfill the Word of God. Now here the word "fulfill" in the original has the idea of to make full. To make full. It has the idea of a duty and an obligation that God has given to us to accomplish a mission that He has entrusted to us. And this mission is to show forth the infinite wealth and riches of the Word of God. And what is this Word of God here? The Word of God here is with reference to the living Word, to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. The living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how it is vital for us, if we want to succeed in ministry, we must always remember to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to promote Him in the fullest of way. He must increase, and I must decrease. And show forth Christ for who He is in the fullest of way. And this was what Paul did. You look at verse 15. Look at how Paul spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 15 here in Colossians chapter 1, he says, "Who is the image?" The Lord Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. "For by Him were all things created. They are in heaven, they are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." And then you look at chapter 2, verse 9. "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." We must fulfill the Word of God to make sure that we accomplish this mission of preaching Christ and Christ and Christ and nothing else but Christ in the fullest of way, in the fullest of sense. That when after we preach or teach the Word of God, people will not have a lower view of Christ. People will not have a diminished view of Christ, but people will leave having the highest view of Him, wanting to serve Him, wanting to worship Him, wanting to love Him. If we want to succeed in ministry, this is what we must do. And not only the living Word, but there's also the written Word. The only way whereby we can know the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to reveal Him in all His fullness through the written Word, which is the Holy Scriptures. And here, Paul does not forget to tell us of the written Word and the fullness of the written Word. Verse 26 to 28. And here he says, "I made a minister, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach." So we don't preach ourselves. We don't preach our philosophy, our opinions, our ideas. We preach all the fundamental doctrines that are found in the Holy Scriptures, the whole counsel of God, every one of them, the fullness of it, of the Word of God. And to do this, we must remember the Great Commission. To make disciples of all nations. Yes, we need to evangelize, preach the good news. That is not enough. We must baptize. Baptize them in the name of the Triune God. And the next thing is equally important. And that is to teach them all things. This is the part that is most neglected in the Great Commission. People today say, oh, we just preach the gospel, evangelize, get them saved. But how many of them talk about teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you? Just get them saved enough. Let's go, get to heaven. After that, no more teaching, no more doctrine. Is the gospel all there is to Christianity? There are 66 books in the Bible. Oh, how we must ground them and root them in the most holy faith, the Word of God. Teach them to observe all things. All things means all things. Every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And can we fulfill this mission today? We can, because God has promised to preserve perfectly His inspired words. So we have every word today. We know where the words are by the logic of faith. And we preach, thus saith the Lord, it is written. And we must tell God's people to observe every word that is given to us. Then, only then, do we fulfill the Great Commission, fulfill the Word of God, and succeed in the ministry. But is this enough? It's not enough. The third thing here that we must also do is that we must be diligent to warn of dangers that surround the Christian life. Dangers found in this world, the sin and the error, the false Christ and the false prophets that will snare and trap the believer. The successful, the faithful minister of the gospel will be diligent to warn of the dangers that surround us. Look at verse 28. Paul says, I did not forget only to preach to you. We not only preach, but we warn, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And the prophetic ministry of warning is so neglected today. Nobody likes to warn. Nobody likes to warn about sin and error. There's some things not nice to hear. You may offend people if you rebuke them of sin. If you admonish them. If you correct them. And you warn them, don't do this, don't do that. They may get angry with you because they don't like to hear it. If we want to serve the Lord, we must seek His approval, not man's approval. Or else, we should not be servants of the Lord. And here Paul warned the things that the people may not like to hear, but they need to hear. Warn them of the sin. Warn them of the dangers around. Rebuke them. It is edifying. The prophetic ministry of rebuking, correcting, instructing in righteousness, warning the people of dangers, is edifying. It will build up the saints. It will not make them feel good, but if they have the Spirit, and the Spirit will convict and convert them, it will edify, it will build them up. But people today redefine the word edify. Edify means, as when I hear a sermon, I feel good, I'm edified. It doesn't make me feel good. I feel lousy after the gospel or the message is preached. And I feel as if the preacher is speaking directly to me, rebuking of my sin. Oh, that's not edifying. I'm very angry with this preacher. How does he know what I'm doing? We don't know. Spirit knows.
and the Spirit convicts, are we going to be converted? We need to engage in this warning ministry. And that's why before the Apostle Paul left the Ephesian church, he told the Ephesian elders, do this. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Paul told them, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And Paul not only preached to them the gospel and taught them all the counsel of God, look at what else he did in verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. With tears. And why must he engage in this ministry of warning? And warning them with tears. Not once a week, he says, here I have not ceased to warn every one of you for 3 years, night and day, night and day. We must never, never get tired of the warning ministry. Why? Because Paul here says, for I know this, in verse 29, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And that's why he engaged in this ministry of warning. No point feeding the flock of God to fatten them up only for the slaughter. For the wolves in sheep's clothing, for the wolves to come in and to destroy. We work very hard to preach and to teach. But it will all come to naught. It may all come to naught if we don't engage also in the ministry of warning, protecting, defending the sheep by defending God's word and the most holy thing. So remember, our brother Preacher Chi, remember these three things as you embark on your ministry as an ordained minister of the gospel. Let us remember to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, to teach the whole counsel of God, and then to warn everyone, faithfully and diligently, so that we might present the Church of Christ, pure, without blemish, on the day of Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, for the instructions that You have given to us, and how we may be faithful and successful ministers of the gospel. Lord, we know we are weak, and that's why we need Thee, our Lord and Savior, our Master and our Friend, to help us all the way. And we thank Thee for Thy promise that You will be with us even until the end of the age. We give You all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.